The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. We remember today, O God, the slaughter of the holy innocents of Bethlehem by order of King Herod. Receive, we pray, into the arms of your mercy all innocent victims, and by your great might, frustrate the designs of evil tyrants and establish your rule of justice, love, and peace through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the word.
The first reading is from the prophet Jeremiah, the 31st chapter. Thus says the Lord, a voice is heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel is weeping for her children. She refuses to be comforted for her children because they are no more. Thus says the Lord, keep your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears. For there is a reward for your work, says the Lord. They shall come back from the land of the enemy. There is hope for your future, says the Lord. Your children shall come back to their own country. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 124 responsively. If the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel now say.
If the Lord had not been on our side, when enemies rose up against us,
then would they have swallowed us up alive in their fierce anger toward us.
Then the water would have overwhelmed us, and the torrents gone over us.
Then would the raging waters have gone right over us.
Blessed be the Lord. He has not given us over to be prey to their enemies.
We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowler. The snare is broken and we have escaped.
Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
The second reading is from the first letter of Peter, the 4th chapter. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that is taking place among you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you are sharing Christ's suffering, so that you may also be glad and shout for joy when his glory is revealed. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory, which is the Spirit of God, is resting on you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, a criminal, or even as a mischief maker. Yet if any of you suffers as a Christian, do not consider it a disgrace, but glorify God because you bear this name. For the time has come for judgment to begin with the household of God. If it begins with us, what will be the end for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinners? Therefore, let those suffering in accordance with God's will entrust themselves to a faithful Creator while continuing to do good. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 2nd chapter. Now after the wise men had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated and sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old and under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing in loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more. The Gospel of the Lord. This passage in Matthew's Gospel is very troubling to me. It's difficult to stand here and proclaim this Gospel that tells such a violent story, a story of violence against children. It makes it all the worse to have to tell this story during the season when children are the center of our attention and of our affection. Matthew arranged his Gospel in such a way as to highlight the truth that Jesus is the fulfillment of the Old Testament. He records the story of the slaughter of the holy innocents in such a way that it connects in our imagination with Pharaoh and his killing of the innocent male children of the Hebrews before the Exodus. Now, although the historical fact of the killing of the babies in Bethlehem is questioned, this story is recorded in Scripture, and we have to deal with that. We have to deal with this violent story that somehow looks like God's involvement with the violence of the world. These terrible acts of violence against the children of Bethlehem come to fulfill the Old Testament prophecy of what was spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more. Matthew wants us to see the story of Jesus as fulfillment of the Old Testament, but in doing so, we come dangerously close to interpreting these events as somehow prearranged by God. We hear that the old prophecies needed to come true in order for the Messiah to come. But if we turn that around, we might be better able to make sense of the one who is coming, fulfilling the scriptures. A Lutheran pastor in Cairo, Egypt, gave this insight to me through a friend of mine who did his internship there a couple years ago. Rather than seeing the violent actions of Herod as bringing to completion something that had been promised ages ago, Matthew tells this story to comfort and to help his readers make sense of the brutal action that was so vivid in their memory. Matthew quotes Jeremiah, the reading that we heard for our first reading today. What was going on at that time was that the people were being carried off into exile. Jeremiah recalls the tender, heartbreaking image of a loving mother, Rachel, the beloved wife of Jacob, crying over the children, Ephraim and Manasseh. Jacob recalls this image to give comfort to the people who were being held in captivity. In the same way, now Matthew uses this image to help make sense of this terrible tragedy that had been perpetrated by Herod. So rather than using the slaughter of innocents as proof of God's fulfilling some ancient prediction, maybe we should see this as a response to the tragedy of the events. Even in heaven, there is great weeping for such terrible events. The Christmas holiday, this season, can be an enjoyable escape from the realities of our daily lives, a little respite from our routine and our work. It's a great time to gather with family and friends and just relax and forget about what we have to get done before the new year gets too far underway. We take these days and we can forget about the troubles of the world. We can imagine peace on earth. And we can enjoy the parties and the festivities of the season. And into the midst of our Christmas season intrudes this terrible commemoration of the slaughter of holy innocents. But here we have to flip our images around. It's not the commemoration of the holy innocents that interrupts our Christmas celebration. Rather, it's the Christmas celebration that intrudes into the reality of our world and the events like the slaughter of the holy innocents. It's the message of God breaking into our midst, into our world to save us, to comfort us, that intrudes into the midst of the tragedies of the events like this slaughter, like Emperor Augustus's dominant Roman rule, like the upheaval of the people who had no choices in exile and captivity, like the disregard for a poor pregnant woman in need of a decent place to give birth. It's the message of God breaking into our midst, into our world to save us, to comfort us, that intrudes into the midst of the tragedies of the events that our world has faced recently, like the war in Iraq and the Middle East, like the famine and the civil wars in Africa, like the threat of terrorist attacks anywhere in the world. It's the message of God breaking into our midst, into our world to save us, to comfort us, that intrudes into the midst of the tragedy of the events that our own community has faced in the past months, like the wildfires and the earthquakes, like the death of George and the death of our beloved parents and friends, like the terrible sickness that now holds Shirley so near to death, and the sickness of others that we love and care for. In the midst of all of this intrudes the message of Christmas. In the midst of where we struggle and where we plug away at life is the message of God sending Jesus Christ, Emmanuel. God is with us. This is indeed good news. God comes to be among us. God comes into our world, as messy as it is, to be with us. And yet I'm still troubled on this Holy Innocents Day. Why would God allow such an event to happen? But like Job, who pleaded for an answer to the injustice, all we have is silence from God. There is no answer about these matters. All we can say for certain is that in such a world in which we live, in which humans have free will to do good and to do evil, children are born, and even children must live with our consequences. This is part of the human condition. This is part of original sin. Even before we can make a conscious decision, choosing between good and evil, we are already caught up in a world of good and evil. Before these holy innocents, before these little children of Bethlehem had any say in the world, they were caught up in events that were decided by someone else. This is the way of the world in which human freedom is allowed to exist. Herod was a ruthless man who even had his own sons executed so that they would not even be able to think about taking over his throne. He was a ruthless man who would not have thought twice about killing a number of two-year-olds in a little village called Bethlehem. It was his choice. In response to this terrible act, Matthew reminds us of the image of Rachel weeping over her children. In response to the reality of our world, to the acts of individuals and nations, to the needs of so many people with uncertain futures, a message intrudes, a message of Christmas. The slaughter of innocent children, the sad events and the troubles of our world, the sad events and the troubles of our own lives are unfortunately the reality of our world. And it is into this reality that intrudes a message of an angel. Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Just as Herod sought to kill the baby Jesus, later the chief priests and the elders and those in power would seek to kill him, and they did. But such acts, and the acts of Herod and of Iraq and Africa, the acts of fire and earthquake, of sickness and death, those acts are never the last word. And the angel declares, she will bear a son. You are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Amen.